Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show underway, brought to you each and every morning by Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Pour yourself a delicious cup of Harvest Ridge right now at your own home or get out to your local convenience store and enjoy a rich, delicious cup of Harvest Ridge. Lots of different flavors to choose from. We just get the regular old roast here at the Radio Ranch. Good enough for us. You can't go bad with a cup of Harvest Ridge. We're going to talk about a couple of things today. Arts Quincy will be coming on in just a moment. But first, the Quincy Society of Model Engineers. I don't know why they think they're model. I mean, they could be just as mediocre as any other engineers. But they say they're the Quincy Society of Model Engineers, and they're having their 2022 Model Railroad Show, and their model citizen, Chuck Finch, is here today. Thank you. These are guys that like to play with trains that are not quite life-size.
True. That's true. I understand that model trains come in multiple gauges, starting Z, N is small. HO is the most popular. S, O27, you know, G, you know, the big stuff.
Yeah. My husband has at least three different gauges with complete sets of each, which came in handy recently because I had to use his caboose as a table decoration.
Oh. So
not his caboose, but
a
caboose.
I'm glad you clarified that.
That would have been I would have won if I'd used his caboose. I used a model railroad caboose from one of his many collections, one of his larger ones. So you're going to have all these railroad shows set up at the Quincy Town Center. Most people still say the Quincy Mall, the Quincy Town Center at 33rd and Broadway there. Saturday, December 3rd, Sunday, December 4th, and it's absolutely free of charge. So we were used to having this down at Good Samaritan Home, but COVID and a whole bunch of other things.
With COVID, we can't do that anymore, and we shouldn't with COVID going on. You know, need to protect the residents of the home. So, you know, we had this at Good Sam for 20-plus years, the weekend, you know, a weekend before Christmas. Because a lot of people think of trains under the Christmas tree. And we'd get anywhere from 800 to 1,400 people in the 2 days. And because of COVID, we hadn't had it. And this year we thought, what can we do? So we contacted the mall, and they've been really great working with us. And we're going to be just east of Popple's Pizza. I think it used to be the Children's Place, I think is what it was called. And three of our club members have portable layouts that they can take apart, put together. One is going to be an N-gauge layout, small. One will be HO, and that HO portable layout has won national awards for the creativity and the quality of the work and the design in that. And then an S-gauge layout. And then we're going to have some workshops to show people how they can do scenery and landscaping on their layout. And then we'll have we have professional video made of our layout in Good Sam Home, which is only 16 wide by about 80-some feet long.
It's huge.
We'll have about a 15 to 20-minute video of that showing for people.
So when people come in anytime Saturday noon to 5, Sunday noon to 4, they can stay as long as they want. They can just walk through and see things very quickly, or they can stay, watch the video, watch the different operations of the different sizes of tracks.
It's come in. If you have questions about it, if you're interested in it, and you have questions about it, any of the club members will answer your questions, show you how we operate, how we put this stuff together. I'm doing the scenery workshops.
Oh, good.
So, you know, it's like how can you create mountains or hills? And then, you know, we use a material called homosote we put down. Homosote. It's a gray recycled paper material. And that's what we put down, and that's what we build on and lay the track on. So we'll be showing people how you can make little hills and how you can color them and how you can put your grass down and, you know, tree stumps and flowers. And, you know, if you want to decorate it, we'll show you how to do it.
And the great thing about this is the decorations have to be scaled to whatever model train is running.
Yes.
So, you know, some of the flowers will be exceptionally small. Others will be a little bit larger. Mm-hmm. But it's all going to be to scale to whatever your railroad scale is. Is the popularity of model railroading up or down?
Through COVID, it has probably maintained where it was. There are some model railroad magazines. If you look at the magazines, the number of shows that are now coming back is huge. There's a lot of shows going on. So we think that it maintained during the COVID. And part of why we're doing this is to promote the hobby and to promote our club.
And so, of course, it's free of charge. It's something you guys like to do. If you want to show it off, you are show off. That's
yeah,
okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're humble, shy, and introverted people.
They're models. They're models in our community.
This is what I do when winter comes and I can't get out and play golf. My wife knows I'm in the basement playing with my train.
Mm-hmm. Well, John Holm, our venerated John Holm, had a huge setup in his basement.
Yes, I know he did.
I think he even had a little hat that he wore, which, you know, I always wonder. But on The Sopranos, Bobby. Remember Bobby on The Sopranos?
Mm-hmm.
He had a little hat, and he wore his overalls, his striped overalls, and he had his little train set, but his wife made him keep his out in the garage. So,
I got lucky when we bought a condo. There were two rooms in the basement that had been used as bedrooms. So my wife allowed me to rip the wall out between the two rooms. So my layout is now 26 long and about 12 wide.
Wow.
And with this, you're never done. No matter how long you work at it, you're never finished. And I've done sections where I thought were good, and a month later, oh, I don't like that. So you can rip it out and start over and redo it.
So if anybody's interested in getting started, if anybody already is involved, if you just want to see what other people's hobby is, it's absolutely free of charge. Saturday, December 3rd. From noon to 5, Sunday, December 4th, from noon to 4. Just head into the center south door there at the mall where Popo's used to be, and then it's right near
east of Popo's.
East
right
of
between
Popo's.
Popo's and the theater.
Right.
On the south side.
On the south side. It's going to be in a big storefront. There'll be plenty of room for them to have their trains running. They'll have videos going. They'll have workshops going on how to make and design these things. And of course, you also have to make like a water tower, or do you buy those things prefabricated?
No, you can buy them prefab. I buy kits.
Okay.
And there's a distributor out of Milwaukee, Walther's, which is the largest distributor of model railroad equipment in the country.
And that's why they have the national train thing there in Milwaukee.
So I buy the kits, and then I put the kits together. But if you don't want to do that, you can buy the pre-built stuff and put them on your land. And some people do. Some people are big into running the trains, not into the modeling, and that's part of the hobby. You put your track down, you can run your trains, you buy the pre-built stuff, and it looks pretty realistic, and you don't have to spend hours. But if you want to build it and you want to put your own touch on the buildings and the structures, you can do that. That's part of this hobby that allows you to use your own creativity, and you can come up with whatever you want.
Could be a winterland scene or a summer scene.
Yes.
Well, ladies, if you're out there listening, you have a husband who's recently retired and he's driving you crazy. Get him out to the Quincy Town Center on Saturday and Sunday, December 3rd and 4th. Introduce him to Chuck Fitch, and he can become a basement dweller, just like Chuck. And then you can be upstairs doing whatever you want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm fortunate that my wife understands how crazy I am about this. My grandfather worked for the old CB&Q.
Okay.
And I was born in 48, and when I was young, there were still a lot of trains. He retired shortly after I was born. He had a pass. He and Grandma could ride for free, so Grandpa and I would ride trains out of Quincy. We'd go to Burlington. We'd go, there was one that would go down, work the lime kills, and go down through Seahorn and Fishhook, and so we'd ride that. That's how I got addicted, and I have never gotten it out of my system, and I don't ever want to get it out of my system.
There's a great episode of the Andy Griffith Show where the guy that plays Jed Clampett, what's his name, Ed? Well, anyway, it doesn't matter. But the guy that
Ed Begley?
No, the guy that plays Jed Clampett in the Beverly Hillbillies, he was a guest star on the Andy Griffith Show, and he worked for the CB&Q Railroad. So
good
Quincy
road.
Is always recognized even in the Andy Griffith Show. Mm-hmm. This guy, well, he didn't, you know, that didn't run through Mayberry, but he was injured working on the CB&Q, and that's the plot line that's
okay.
There. Folks, thank you so much to Chuck Fitch, and everybody get out. It's absolutely free. They haven't been able to have it for a couple of years, and you're just going to be fascinated by how realistic these model railroad lines are. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Fox News special that's coming up. You'll hear about that, and then we'll have Laura Sievert from Arts Quincy. She's arrived, and she'll be telling us what's happening. Stay tuned. Now we have a woman who is flaunting her Iowa cup right in front of me, Iowa graduate and could be Big Ten West champions, Iowa. Laura Sievert is here. I'm going to allow her in.
I've also got a degree from Mizzou if we want to talk Mizzou a little.
Oh, now I'm nauseous beyond compare. But let's talk about Arts Quincy's 75th anniversary Diamond Jubilee Gala. It is Saturday, December 10th from 6 to 10 at the Quincy Country Club. And is this going to become the new, has Beaux-Arts Ball permanently changed, or is Beaux-Arts Ball going to be a Christmas tradition again? I've lost track.
I believe that it is permanently gone. That's really up to the Art Center and their board. We really, you know, this event, it does fill that need for a very dressed up holiday event. So, we are celebrating 75 years as your Arts Council, but America's first Arts Council. And we have pulled out all the stops for this event. We are more than 75% sold through. So if you're thinking about getting a table, don't dally. Go ahead and get that table or get those tickets right now. But I have to tell you, we really, first of all, three-course menu, steak and shrimp, and, I mean, amazing appetizers, the whole thing, a big champagne toast to America's First Arts Council. But the highlight is definitely going to be our musicians. Speaking of Iowa, they are visiting professors at the University of Iowa, but one happens to be a Grammy Award-winning trumpet player named Curtis Taylor. And I'm not kidding you. This is one of those musicians that people will say, were you there that time that we got that guy? Because he's played with some of the best jazz musicians on the planet. I had a chance to see him about a year ago and just floated this idea out there before I even really knew what we were doing for our 75th. And we stayed in touch, and we ended up booking him. So in a busy holiday season. They've got a big lineup of great tunes, including a bunch of Christmas tunes. The one that really got me hooked on his music was a rendition of Winter Wonderland.
Ah.
And I was like, whoa, that's a new look at an old favorite.
Because Winter Wonderland is a very old favorite, but if you can put a new twist on that and get people saying, wow, yeah.
Especially me, because I'm a bit of a Grinch, believe it or not. So I really wanted him here. So anyway, him and the entire quintet is super, super talented. We're going to be honoring our own jazz legend, Les Fonza, with a George M. Irwin Lifetime Achievement Award as well. The band has learned a couple of Les's favorite songs, so we're excited to present those for him. But it's just going to be terrific. We, again, are about 75% sold through a ticket, so don't wait. Hop on and get those today, because I would love to have you there celebrating with us. We've really pulled out all the stops for this celebration. Yeah.
If you're a friend of Les Fonza or want to honor him in any way, your participation there that night would mean the world to him. Also, if you just want to support the Arts Quincy, the nation's oldest and first Arts Council on their 75th anniversary Diamond Jubilee Gala. It is a Saturday evening, December 10th. I know that's a busy night. A lot of things are going on that night. I have tickets to the theater from 6 to 10 at the Quincy Country Club, but do get your tickets immediately. They're $100 each, or you can get a table of eight up and you save a little money. It's $725. Go to artsquincy.org, and I would not delay. I would get those before the Thanksgiving holiday, and that way
they really,
you know,
picked up this week, and I'm like, woo!
Yeah, because everybody's going to be there when Mr. Les Fonza is honored with the George Irwin Lifetime Achievement Award, and they're going to want to hear Curtis Taylor and the rest of the gang from Iowa, because you don't get that quality of a performance here very often. That is reserved for 75th anniversaries, that's for sure. Okay, let's talk about Mark Twain Museum tree lighting ceremony. That's going to be Saturday evening from 5 to 7 down in Hannibal at the Boyhood Home and Museum. And the event begins at 5 o'clock. The Salvation Army Brass Band will be playing, and, of course, Tom and Becky will be there, as well as Santa Claus. And they'll light the tree at dusk, and let's talk about that. What's going to be happening?
You know, as a musician, every time I think of these wintertime outdoor things, I think, oh, they're poor lips on the floor.
Yeah.
As a fellow brass musician, I just respect that. It's going to be great. Of course, Hannibal and Quincy kind of doing their light the park ceremonies at the same time, so whichever place you're in, you're going to be in for a treat. Mark Twain Museum has been a partner of Arts Quincy for a while, and we like to shine a light on what they're doing. And, of course, community tree lighting ceremonies are a tradition across the nation and just a celebration of the kickoff of the holiday season. I like to say it's important to go downtown and think about the businesses that you might patronize. over the holiday season, it is important to shop local when you can. I know Amazon is easy, you guys, but you're never going to find anything as unique as you do in downtown Hannibal or downtown Quincy. So keep those dollars local and enjoy these great tree lighting ceremonies on Saturday.
Okay, and don't forget December 3rd, Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, the Dallas Brass will be here with the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. We talked about that yesterday, so we'll talk about that again next week. And Laura Sievert.
I have one more.
One more thing, real quick.
Did you know that QCT added a performance of Little Women? I just thought I should mention it.
Not Little Women, Little House on the Prairie.
That's what I meant.
I was in Little Women. We had to add a performance there, too.
The high school is doing Little Women as their spring play. They confused me. Little House,
Little Women, Little Houses, whatever you want to see. We've got it here
in Quincy. They added
a performance. It's been crazy popular, so I would call today for tickets again because they're almost sold out even with the added performance, so get them today. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. Hey, you too.
My next guest on the Mary Griffith Show is going to be calling me here in a moment by the phone lines. He is not a Quincyan or a West Central Illinoisan. He is the former director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture, Charles Hartke, Chuck Hartke to his friends. He grew up on a farm in Effingham. He became a state lawmaker. He is the 1992 recipient of the Illinois Electric Cooperative Public Service Award. And he's recently released his memoir entitled A Farm Boy's Journey into Politics. And he is talking about his years growing up on that Effingham hog farm. Then he got to serve in the Illinois House, and he became the Illinois Director of Agriculture. And he's a Vietnam veteran. He has been able to travel to China and Vietnam in his work as an ag director. And grab your pen and paper because you can email him at chuck.hartke. That's chuck.hartke@gmail.com. His books are $19.95 plus tax. Now, he called me 13 minutes ago, and I said, call back in 10 minutes. So I'm hoping he's going to be calling here very quickly. But while we're waiting for his phone call, come on, Chuck, give me a call. I want to let you know that the way I found out about this, I was reading Illinois Country Living magazine. And it just was a little blurb in there about how the former director of the Illinois Department of Agriculture had written this book. And, of course, he's a member of the Illinois Electric Cooperative. And so he's very familiar. And the Illinois Country Living is put on by the Illinois Electric Cooperative. So hopefully Chuck will now call. He's called twice already. And I put him off twice. That was probably a mistake. I should have just said, stay on hold, Chuck, although that's not very convenient for anybody to do. But hopefully he'll be calling here in just a moment. In the meantime, we do want to tell you that tomorrow morning, on Thanksgiving morning, I'll be here. You'll have your news, weather, and sports like you always do on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And we will have some beautiful Thanksgiving music and some other inspirational things that I have planned for you. And then on Friday, Mr. Bruce Terstegi will join me while Steve is on vacation. So that's kind of exciting there. So we're going to do a lot of fun stuff in the days to come. So I do want to let everybody know that over the Thanksgiving holiday, there's an awful lot that's going on. Be sure to buckle up, be safe, because they're really out in force with all those traffic regulations and everything. So hopefully you won't get caught in one of those speed traps or one of those seatbelt traps, and you'll do the right thing. We can only hope so. Well, we're still waiting for Mr. Hartke to call. This happens every once in a while. There's not much we can do about it when, who knows, maybe his wife came in and come back in, Laura, if you've got more to talk about, because thank you, Laura, for saving my bacon. While Laura was talking, I told Mr. Hartke to call back in 10 minutes, and that was 15 minutes ago. So
I got you know,
you
I always
can
got
always
stuff.
Always fill the time.
I thought we were going to come back and talk football. That's fine.
What oh no, we're not talking football, not with you, because Illinois, Iowa, and Purdue both have to lose for Illinois to have any chance of being West Big Ten champions. And, of course, beginning of the year.
You can't hang your hopes on Nebraska beating us. I'm telling you that right now.
No. But anyway, so we, you know, Illinois had their own ticket that they could punch, and they managed to beat all the hard teams.
Right.
And lose to all the
easy
teams.
Man, that's the story of the Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten beats each other up.
Yeah, that is so very true.
All day long. But, yeah, you know.
Let's talk a little bit. I want to do talk about scheduling of events because.
Yeah.
One of the things that Arts Quincy does, because you have like 45 member organizations,
yeah.
you try to set a calendar up maybe 1 year, 2 year, even 3 years in
yeah.
advance so that the symphony isn't competing against the Civic Music Association or so that the theater's not competing against something else. Now,
right.
we get close to Christmas, obviously.
Off, yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's some weekends you're going to have two things to go to. But it's very important for people that are going to have a big gala or something to let you know because you want everyone to be successful.
Right, and we coordinate really closely with C. Quincy, with Holly Kane over at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, because those giant events, they can do one of two things. They can poach off each other or they can improve each other, and I really like to work with them to make sure that we're improving each other. So if something in town is going on, like the Ten Dusters, for example, it behooves us to have an arts event at night or something that those folks can go to. So those are ways we can increase our attendance for everybody by sort of making a partnership with those events. But you're right, there are a lot of schedules to take into account. It's a huge thing that we do, and it's something that we really take pride in because it helps the community out.
It helps the community so very much. Well, Laura, thank you for those extra
Filler.
Words. And guess who's arrived via the phone lines? It is Mr. Chuck Hartke. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
So glad to have you here. I've already intro'd you and given all your credentials, but I want to talk about your book, A Farm Boy's Journey into Politics. You grew up probably pretty modest on an Effingham hog farm. I don't know how old a guy you are, but when were your boyhood years? Were they post-World War II, or when were you on that hog farm?
Well, I'm not, after World War II. I was born in 1944. So that makes me 78 years old.
So you're one of those boomers. I'm at the very tail end of the boom, and you were the start of the boom as people were coming back from wartime. What was life like growing up on a hog farm? Because, boy, hog farming is so different today. We have these big, huge swine confinements. What was a day in the life of a hog farmer back in the late 40s, early 50s, when you were a boy growing up and probably had to do some chores?
Well, I had to do a lot of chores, and I explained that in the book. Mary was a little different. My dad had a huge farm. We farmed about 300 acres, I guess. He owned one of those old threshing machines, and so we always had a lot of hired help. As a matter of fact, my nine siblings and I probably – since day one that I can remember, always had a hired hand at the table that stayed overnight with us and was part of the family. So when we sat down to eat breakfast or dinner or supper, as it was known then, there were 14 of us around the table.
Wow.
Siblings, myself, mom and dad, and my grandmother on my mother's side stayed, plus the hired hand. And I have a whole list of hired hands that my mother in her memoirs wrote about and the different events that took place during farming and farming season. And yes, we had chores to do. We had the dairy as well. And one of those jobs that I did was to climb up the huge silo that was 30 foot tall then, and I think 12, maybe 15 foot across. And it took a long time to feed 15 dairy cattle with enough silage in the morning, but no light up in the silo. And so you were hoping there'd be some moonlight or something in the morning.
So true.
Yeah.
You went on after farming, after being a farm boy. What was your chosen occupation then?
Well, I was drafted into the military. When I got back, I continued to farm. Like I said, my father had a huge farm, and he didn't farm all the land that he had. And so at 19, after graduating from high school, I got married and married my high school sweetheart. And we spent 3 years together on 80 acres that my father gave to me when I got married, as he did with the rest of his children. And so I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth, so to speak. Not often does a man get to start doing his occupation as early as he did. But I parlayed that in the next 20 years into 1,000 acres that I own myself. So I did well raising hogs, raising corn, soybeans. My wife worked very hard as well until the kids came, Chris and Kim, both adopted, by the way. She worked at the local co-op.
So you had, you were farming was definitely everything you were all about. How did you get into politics?
Well, if you read my book, I was a little frustrated when I got back from Vietnam. There was not a 40-piece band welcoming me at the airport. As a matter of fact, looks of disgust followed me through the airport as they recognized me as one of those killers that were sent to Vietnam. Was not a happy camper about that, so I knew it was a political war, and it soon ended. I got back from the war in the Vietnam War in 1968, and went back to farming, minded my own business, and I knew that politics was the problem. But at a township meeting, one of the topics of discussion that I attended was the county was going to be zoned, and that meant that I would have to go and get a permit to put up a barn or a hog building or a corn crib or whatever I was building on the farm, and as I expanded my farming operation, and I didn't want to have anything to do that with that, and I didn't think it was right for agriculture, who are self-employed farmers doing their own business out in the country, to be regulated by somebody from some city who didn't know anything about agriculture. And so I said, we should be involved in this process to make sure that we don't get the short end of the stick. And my neighbors stood up and said, yeah, that's right, you know. And so they rallied behind and came to my yard, told my neighbors, and says, Chuck, we want you on that zoning board. And so they took it upon themselves to go to the county board members and suggest that I be chosen as one of those individuals appointed to a planning and zoning board. So I spent 14 months doing that, and then part of that process was to act as a spokesperson for the zoning board and present the plan for zoning to every township in the county. And so I did, with a recommendation that followed to the county board, do not adopt. And so the political bug fever had caught on. And so it so happened that my county board member passed away in a bowling alley, a sudden heart attack. And again, my neighbors came to me and said, Chuck, we want you to take over Sylvester Saruzin's place on the county board. So I was appointed to a 26-month job to finish out his term, and could not get on the ballot anymore. So, the first election. But I finished out that first term and surprised some of my neighbors that I did not run for re-election, simply because my wife, Kathy, asked, do you want to be a farmer or do you want to be a politician? Because she knew and I knew that when I was having a finance committee meeting or a transportation committee hearing at the county level, that was the day that all my sows decided to have pigs out in the lot rather than being in a pen in a barn.
Well, let's jump ahead. You became an Illinois lawmaker eventually, and then you were named as Illinois Secretary of Agriculture. Who did you serve under?
I served under Governor Blagojevich for 5 years.
That's interesting. There's a guy that doesn't know a thing about agriculture.
And so that was my demise though as well, because he was trying to do things that I didn't think fit in agriculture and was not good for agriculture. And it was my job and my mission to regulate and promote agriculture in Illinois, and this was not going to help a bit. And so I hung up on him on a phone call, and that did not make him very happy.
Okay. Well, you know, knowing that I don't know you and I don't know him personally, but considering his record and your record, I guess if I had to take one of you in a fight, Chuck Hartke, I'd take you. We've only got 2 minutes left, and so this is interesting because I've always wondered, Illinois Department of Agriculture, I'm going to have you back on again because we've got so much to discuss. You, quickly in 2 minutes, give us the travelogue of China and Vietnam. You were over there for agricultural purposes?
I traveled to China as a representative of the state of Illinois, developing goodwill and business connections in China. I went there 4 or 5 times and enjoyed it. Took with me 6, 8, or 10 of my colleagues in the Senate and the House. And we were sponsored by the PPCCP, and I don't even know what that stands for anymore, but I know they're like the Chamber of Commerce in their various provinces. And so it was very interesting. We did promote not only agriculture, but also business opportunities for everyone.
Well, let me ask you this follow-up question. This may be the last one. You've got about a minute left. Then how do you take what's happening with China today? Are they a friendly trading partner? Are they an adversary of ours? Where does it stand as far as you're concerned, and what's best for the American farmer when it comes to Chinese relations?
In my opinion, this everything that we produce in off the farm is dependent upon foreign trade, whether it be lumber, whether it be hogs, live hogs, fruit and vegetables. Corn, soybeans are big in our exports, and we need those exports because we're in a world market. And I don't want to see anything disrupted, but I don't want to be taken advantage of either. And I think that was part of the China embargo. We were being taken advantage of by the Chinese government.
What about now with the situation, real quickly, with Russia and Putin and Ukraine, and there has been a disruption of food stocks, and of course the drought's disrupted food stocks. How important is it to have those free trades, and can't control the weather?
You're right. We need world trade, and so does the Ukraine. The Ukraine is equivalent to our Champaign County times 10. They have 30% of the world's best soils in the world. The Ukraine does, equal to that of Champaign County. And so when Putin started his war with Ukraine, for various reasons, I read a story about that as well, he disrupted world trade, and it's going to cause some real problems worldwide as far as feeding the world.
Okay, we're out of time. Chuck Hartke, thank you so much for your generosity today. Folks, you can get the book, A Farm Boy's Journey into Politics. Go to chuck.hartke@gmail.com if you want to communicate with him. You have a happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.